chapter 12, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and we'll start in verse 1. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. That's a good thing. Hey, you young people, you need to get to know God now. Amen. You need to get to know God now. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low, also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way. The almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, it's good to be here today. It's good to be saved. God, we thank you for your love, for your sacrifice, for the blood that you've shed. God, we thank you, Lord God, that one of these days we'll be out of these bodies, and Lord, we'll have new bodies that'll never sin, never get sick, and never grow old. Father, I pray that you'd bless now and guide me. Lord, I've got no brains. I have no ability. God, these people, all of us here today, God, we need you. We need you to speak to us, to draw us near to thee, God, to minister, to work. God, it's a wicked age. God, I pray that you'd remind us of these things, and I pray, God, that you would bless this message. God, most of all, I pray that you would be pleased with this message today and what we do with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now he says there, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Young people, you need to get to know God now. You need to have victories in your walk now that you can draw on later on in life. I mean, and I'm talking about you girls, all you young people here today. I mean, David was just a teenager, and he killed Goliath and got a victory when he was a kid. When he was a teenager, God gave him a victory. Later on in life, he's running for his life, and he gets down to the temple. And he says, hey, you got a sword here. He asked the priest, you got a sword here. He said, but David, we don't have anything. Wait a minute, we got the sword of Goliath. You know that big mouth giant you killed a few years back? And he said, that's all we got. And he said, give it me, there's none like that. And a victory that David got when he was a kid helped him out when he was later on in life. Listen, young people, you need to get to know God now, and he'll help you later on in life. Because you know what? If the Lord tarries, you're going to get old. You're going to get old like some of us. Amen. Now, I'm getting older, but I still think I'm a kid, you know. That's usually how it goes. But he says, remember now thy creator, the days of thy youth. Well, the evil days come not. Well, the evil days, I thought it was the golden years. Amen. The golden years, you know, retirement, you know, and you're driving down the road and they got this billboard, you know, and it's this guy and this gal, you know, and they walk along the beach, the sunset, you know, he's fit and trim, she's fit and trim, you know, and they're walking there, the golden years come to Sandestin, you know, or something like that, you know, all that stuff. The Bible says it's the evil years. You know that? Not everybody ends up, 75 and 80 years old with their health. You know, I mean, that's the exception there. But while the evil days come nigh, that sounds so negative, you know. But like one lady said, to Terry, she came in and she said, you know, this growing old ain't for wimps. It's hard, you know. He says there, well, the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Well, that's something to look forward to, isn't it? I'm investing in to serve the Lord. And thank God with Jesus Christ, there can be pleasure in them, but it's the pleasure of knowing that you've done right. knowing that you've done right. But we're going to get old if the Lord tarries and the bodies decay and the hair falls out or gray hair, whatever, and the arthritis and on and on and on, the eyes give out and all that sort of thing. And the Bible says that it can be rough. And I won't get into some things here. But I was up in Brooklyn, New York. There's a brother up there, Arnie Abrahamson, and he's a PBI grad, but he is the chaplain of a very large retirement center, I guess what they call it. And it's a retirement center in the sense that it's got the apartments for people that can still drive, and then it has the apartments where you can't drive, but you can still walk and get around, that sort of thing. And then it's got, the progressive stages to where, and he said that they end up in it's basically a motel room, about the size of it. About size motel room, studio apartment thing with the restroom, that sort of thing. A small little kitchenette sometimes, but at the end it's more like just a motel room. And he said the other day, and he said, though it doesn't happen every day, it's not uncommon, but he said there was a man, and he had been fighting cancer. And he'd been operated on. I don't know how old he was. I think he was in his 70s. And he'd been operated on, gone through the chemo, gone through the treatment, been recuperating, and it had been a couple months, I believe. He was in a wheelchair, and he went in for tests, and the cancer had come back. They went up to his room and found him. And he had tied a necktie or a towel, I don't know what, old guy, and tied it around the doorknob, pushed himself out of the wheelchair and hung himself. That's the golden years. That's the golden years. The Bible calls them the evil days. I mean, it's rough, man. He's just like, why go through it? And he just ended up, I don't know if he's saved or not. I don't know if saved or not. But the body grows old, and I want to say something in this here. This is going to be characteristics of the body, of our bodies. But you know what? The church age now is right just about 2,000 years old. You know where we are, folks? We're at the end. And the church is likened unto a body. This is going to be kind of a spiritual application, but nevertheless, you'll see where I'm going. But the body of Christ, the church, as it's gone through the years, the ages, there was an age where the body was strong and vibrant and on fire and going. We're at the end now. We're at the end of Christianity, and in essence, the body is aged. Is aged. And so, as I go through this, I'm going to apply it to Christianity and the age in which we're in. And if you forget this, you can get real discouraged. You think, oh man, it's a mess and things are falling apart. Hey man, any day now the Lord's coming and we're leaving. That's the way to look at it. I mean, this is going wrong and that's going bad and America's going down and on and on. Yeah, that's true. Physically, it's a mess. But spiritually, we're out of here. We're going. And I'm ready, man. Let's go. Let's get out of here. Let's just go. But he says, know the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light of the moon and the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. I thought the sunshine returned after the rain. You know what I mean? I mean, storm comes up, and it rains, clouds part, sun comes out. Oh, it's how beautiful. The birds are singing, and everything's wonderful. But as you get older, it's not that way. Things grow dim. Things grow dim. And he says, in the day when the keepers of the house should tremble. And as you get old, your hands, you see people get up in years, the hands, they just kind of, every once in a while, I clown around quite a bit. But I'll be holding my wife's hand, we'll be going to the store or something, and I'll just start shaking it. And I'll say, honey, this is what it's going to feel like in a few years. You can laugh about that if you're saved. You know that? If you're lost, that's not funny. But, you know, in the day when the keeps of the house shall tremble, the hands, they begin to lose their grip. You begin to get up in years and you try to, you know, you're holding on your keys and you drop them. You're younger, you know, you can just hold on to them, no big deal. You get older, you know, you think you got them and you don't, and they fall out, and then you got to bend over, and that's, I'll get to that in a bit, and pick them up, you know, and you're going to grab a cup or something, you know, and it slips out, and you spill it over the table, you know. The grasp isn't what it used to be. And the keepers, what is that? Well, that's the preachers. Now, as I go through this, I want you to understand something. I'm preaching about Christianity, all right? I'm preaching about, you know, everybody that's saved and born again. And, you know, as Bible believers, we understand that there's a staggering minority that's true to the book. All right? But beyond that, there is a group that they've got salvation, or the people got saved in spite of their church. But there was a time when Memphis or other places in America would have a city-wide revival. Can you imagine that? A city-wide revival, and the preachers would come out, and there'd be a Presbyterian, a Methodist, a Baptist, a Nazarene, whatever, and they'd all be there because they all had the same Bible. And they would gather, and they would preach, and people would get saved. And though there were variations amongst those denominations, yet those preachers had a grasp of what's right and what's wrong. Amen. It's not that way anymore. They tremble. Should I say, will I lose my tax exemption? I mean, I don't know if I should say. I mean, should I say, sodomite. Oh, I shouldn't say, oh, well, maybe, you know, well, it's not, that word isn't in the New Bibles, it's only in the King James, so I don't have to say it, maybe I'll just say gay, but I can't say it negatively. I mean, oh, no, well, we can't say what's right or what's wrong, we just, let's all get together and love, 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 love. What's wrong? They're trembling, man, they don't have a grasp anymore. You ought to thank God you're in a church where the preacher has a grasp on what's right and what's wrong. Amen. But boy, there's a bunch of churches around here, they don't. They don't. You say, why? Well, it's an aged body. It's just trembling. Just can't grip, can't grasp. Growing old, growing old. Getting time to go home. Getting time to go home. I mean, they're unstable. I remember when I was a kid, I was working for these ladies. They were retired sisters, and only one of them had ever been married. The rest of them never got married. They'd been teachers. But I remember this one lady. She came to me, and her finger was bent down. She's going, she goes, pull it, pull it. And I'm like, when I was like 14 years old, I'm like, huh? And she's going, pull it. I go, you want me to pull that? And she said, yeah. And I'm like, okay. You know, pulled it. And she went, oh, thank you. It's like it got stuck or something, man. I don't know, dislocated or whatever. I mean, that's just the grasp. It goes. It goes, man. And we're in an age where people and preachers don't have a grasp anymore. They have grasp. It's sad. It really is. Unsure of their grip. Unstable. The hands get cold. You take the preacher, man, preacher, now it's just a job. Fire, the heat of the gospel of Jesus Christ hadn't warmed them. It's just a job. Just a job. Notice what it says there. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves. The strong men. I think it was bow themselves. What is that? Would that be the spine? But no, it's plural. It's got to be the legs. Got to be the legs. In the day when the strong men shall bow themselves. You know what the legs do? They hold you up. They hold you up. What's that? That's churches. That's churches. And in this last days of the aged body of Christ, the churches, they're bowing. They're not standing. They don't have the strength to stand on their own. I mean, as you get up in years, you know what you're going to get? You're going to get artificial support. You say, what's that? A walker? A wheelchair? Crutches? Or something? Why? The legs don't have the strength. I mean, you'll fall down. You know, you might break a hip, something like that. So you get artificial support to help you because you don't have the strength to stand on your own. And listen, there was a time when more churches would just stand. I mean, you guys are standing on what's right, on that book, on preaching the truth. And thank God, and there was an age when the churches would preach it and people would come out. They wouldn't artificially prop it up. You see, like what? Like with a rock band, you know, or a play. We're going to have VBS every Sunday, you know, and they put on a play, you know, all that stuff, and they got their praise teams, you know, and they're just rocking out and all that stuff. What is that? That's artificial support. That ain't the God. That isn't Jesus Christ holding that church up. That's just going to the world and getting artificial support. Yeah. It's a mess. You say, why is that going on? Well, we're at the end. It's an aged body. It's no longer the march of a soldier. Those soldiers got to have strong legs. They got to be in shape. But boy, they'll march. They'll march. They'll go. They'll go on those 20-mile, 30-mile marches, on and on, going strong, going. And there's a time when Christianity, the sound, the music of the church was a march, a march, a march. It ain't that way now. It's a serenade, man. It's a party. It's let's just have a good time. Why? They don't have the strength to march. They've lost it. They've lost it. I mean, Rick Warren, a few months back, come out with the Daniel Diet. How many of you ever heard of the Daniel Diet? A few of you, a couple of you. The Daniel Diet. He consulted three, and they are medical doctors, but Muhammad Oz, I quote him in the book there, Muhammad Oz is the leading cardiovascular surgeon at, he's in New York City. I think it's Sinai. I forget which one. That guy's wife is a Reiki master. And he's promoting yoga and Reiki, and she's promoting Reiki. What is that stuff? That's witchcraft. And one of the major, I know he's apostate, all right? I know Rick Warren, I understand that. But he's got salvation, you know, as far as Christianity. And he's consulting these New Age gurus. So well, how should we set that up? Why? He doesn't have any strength. Didn't know how to stand on the Word of God. Didn't know how to stand on prayer. Didn't know how to stand on what's right and wrong. He has no clue of what's right and wrong. He has absolutely no discernment. Well, just take care of the body. The body, the body. You better take care of your spirit, your soul. That body's going to be eaten by worms one day. All that stuff going on. You say, why? We're at the end, folks. It's an aged body. It's up in years. It's getting decrepit. He says there, strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few. Your teeth start falling out. In this, I my wife says, that can be such a depressing sermon. And if you're saved, man, you just got to, you know, okay, this is how it's going to happen. But your teeth fall out. Get older. I'm dealing with one on the left side back there, a molar. I got a cap. It's got a gold cap. I don't know how much the gold's worth. Gold's going up, you know. I told my wife, I said, if that thing's coming out, I want that cap. Man, that thing might be worth $1,000, man. I want that, you know. But, you know, it's capped there, and I hit it wrong, you know, hit a nut or something on it, and it's sore and all that stuff. And they start to fall out. You know what's rough? Now, in the Bible times, they didn't have dentures. You know, or that sort of thing. So it's not quite so bad now, but I mean, when the teeth fall out and they don't, you know, the ones that are left don't mesh. You know what I mean? I mean, you get two on top and one on the bottom and it goes between the two, that's bad. I mean, how are you going to chew steak? You can't chew steak. You know what I mean? I mean, that's somebody else chews it up for you. You know, you know, that's when you're a baby, you know. That's the Indians do that, but not, you know. But the teeth begin to fall out, and then, you know, what do you got? Oatmeal, mashed potatoes. You know, that's just, And you know, what can the churches digest now? Oatmeal and mashed potatoes, that's about it, you know? I mean, sugar, they can do sugar water or something like that. But boy, they sure can't take steak. They don't know how to chew it up. And man, we're in an age where there's not too many that are grinding on the Word of God. The grinders cease because they're few. There's not a lot of new Bible. I mean, thank God for Dr. Ruckman. And he ground some stuff up. And boy, he fed it to me. Spoon, here you go, here you go. And I'm like, wow, that's good. You know? But, I mean, for the most part, it's not that way. I mean, you're supposed to grind it up. I mean, the time will come. They'll turn away their ears from the truth, be turned into fables. So you go to the quote Christian bookstore, and what's the most books in there? Romances. Well, shelf upon shelf upon shelf of fables. Why? Well, they don't want to deal with the truth. So they're fables. You know, that's how it is. That's the age in which we're in. Christian romances, Left Behind series, all that sort of thing. You know what you are if you're saved? You're a sheep. You know that? You know what sheep are supposed to do? They ruminate. You know that? Sheep ruminate. You say, what is that? Well, you see a sheep, it'll be eating grass. And it'll eat that grass and eat that grass and swallow it. And then it'll just lay down and it'll go boop, and burp it up and chew on it again. And boop, and it'll just sit there. And just chew on that grass that they've already eaten. And burp it up and chew on it. Hey, do you ever do that on the Word of God? You're supposed to be a sheep. You know what I mean? And get some Bible and just muse on it and just think about it. Just chew on it. Yeah. Amen. I mean, what's your mind on? Is it on the book? Amen. That's what we're supposed to. You ought to be meditating on the Word of God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I mean, those words, the entrance of thy words, give it life, give it understanding, simple. I mean, it's supposed to be in that book. It's supposed to chew on it, but not too many people grinding it up. Man, it's bad. It's just bad. I have been around independent Baptists, and they'll say, oh yes, we believe once saved, always saved. Yes, sir. Eternal security. I've been around independent Baptists that say they believe that, and then they'll preach, yes, sir, if you're saved, you're once saved, always saved. But if you ever backslide, you never were saved. And you have to get saved. And so, yeah, I mean, and that's, they're cuckoo, man. They don't know what they're talking about. If I ever backslide, they don't understand the depravity of man. They don't understand that stuff, that you're capable, even though you're saved, you still have an old man that doesn't want to do right. They don't understand that. But you take the simple saints that maybe they just got saved, been saved a short time, and they're like, oh no, if I backslide, that means I didn't get saved. But I don't want to backslide. I don't want to backslide. I'm saved, so I'm okay, I think. But if I ever backslide, then I never was. So that would mean I'm not saved now, even though I think I'm saved now. But if I backslide down the road, that means I'm not saved. So I don't know if I am saved, but if I'm not saved. It's a mess, man. What's going on? They don't know how to grind up the Word of God. They don't know how to believe that book. They don't know how to rightly divide it. They don't understand that. Their teeth have been knocked out, man. They don't know how to grind it up. And I feel sorry for the people in the pews that have to digest whatever. Little Valley girl there. You take that's an inside joke between my wife and I. I'm from California, so you would know that Valley talk there from high school a little bit. But anyway, down there in Fresno, it's the Valley of California. Anyway. Enough for rabbit trail. It says there, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. Your eyes begin to go. Gotta get these things. I hate these things. Can't stand them, but I can't read it if I don't have them on. Now, a few years back, I could read fine, but not now. I gotta put them on, you know. Thank God I got these at Walmart, you know. I don't have to get the prescriptions yet. But the eyes, those that look out of the windows be darkened. Your eyesight begins to go out. You get the cataracts. Now, thank God again for medicine to take the cataracts out. But in these days, they couldn't. But nevertheless, the eyes still grow dim. The eyes don't work like they used to. And you lose your vision. You know what's going on? The mission movement of America that was going around the world is dying. It's dying. He had a Filipino here this morning. Wants to go to the Philippines. Now, I personally think he ought to raise his support from the Philippines, not America. But that's just a personal thing there. But maybe God's led him, and he's a good man. I know the group he's with, and they're Bible believers and that sort of thing, as far as I know. But you take, man, there was a time in America where, I mean, it was just missionaries and missionaries just going and going and going and going. Man, I just heard from a missionary. He's... it's a little tiny country over in Africa. What would you remember? It's below the Ivory Coast. I forget. But it's this short little country over there. His name's Agbodo. And he got saved by American missionary like 20 or 30 years ago. And he's pastored over there. And he said this. He said the Muslims have a mosque in every city in our country. And he said, plant a church, a Christian church. He said, it's just the missionaries have left, and I'm just a remnant of their work. And he said, we're trying to get money to build a church in this one city, but these other cities need churches. The eyes are growing dim. Mission movement, missionaries coming back. It's just not that way. I remember the story of some young men on a ship leaving for the field. In those days, you didn't come back. Or it was many, many years if you survived. It's an old sailing ship, you know, with the sails and all that. And the relatives were on the dock watching. And they had just pulled away, drifted out, and was getting ready to go on out. It was about 100 yards maybe from here to the road. That's more than 100, but, you know, not too far. Mom was on the dock, and sister and dad and relatives. Mom was probably crying, wondering if she'd ever see him again this side of heaven. Well, those young missionaries all of a sudden turned around and lifted up his voice and said, "May the Lamb be glorified." Left for the mission field. You know what he had? He had vision. Christianity today has lost their vision. Or losing. But thank God you're supporting missionaries. Thank God the gospel's going out. But it's going down and down and down. The vision's going. And so what do you got to do? You got to feel your way through. I mean, you get older, you know, you're feeling along, you can't see a lot of this stuff, and so now it's a touchy-feely Christianity. Why? They've lost their vision. Yeah. What's going on? I mean, thank God with this book, you don't have to lose the vision. You can have your eyes bright, full of life, full of light, and looking, and viewing, and seeing the lost. But for Christianity, it's not that way. He says there, I look out and the windows be darkened and the doors shall be shut in the streets. Your hearing begins to go. Can't hear. I was up there when I lost my voice working with Alma, the lady that helped me. And she was 85 when I started, or 83 or something like that. She's about 88, 89 now. And I'd been working with her and I'd go down low. And at first I didn't have a low voice, but then it came in. I could, you know, reel down. And she'd say, you can do it. I said, well, I am. She said, well, I can't hear the low notes. She said, I can hear the high notes fine. Them low notes I have a hard time with. And you get old, you can't hear it. The hearing goes. Hey, have you heard the voice of God lately? Has God dealt with your heart lately? Has God dealt with you and God led you? And it's not a voice where, you understand what I'm saying, but there's a leading, there's an impression. I mean, have you heard God deal with you lately? Christianity's grown deaf. He says there, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. And daughters of music shall be brought low. And rise up the voice of the bird. You get older, you have a hard time sleeping. And you're tired, but you can't go to sleep. Or you sleep a little bit. I was at one church, and the preacher's wife, he was getting them years. She said, now we're sleeping in the basement. And she said, now if you hear pastor up in the night, he sleeps in shifts. He'll sleep for three, get up for two, and go back down for three. I said, okay. I mean, blessed is the night when you can get a good night's sleep. Amen. I mean, when you get older, it's like, wow, I slept through the night. Thank you, God. Because it's just not always that way. A lady came into church, Mrs. Dombrowski. She'd had like 12 kids. They were Roman Catholic, and then they got saved, thank God. And had lost one girl. Lord, she'd gone home early. But came in, she just looked haggard. The kids were all grown, you know, and stuff. She just came in like, you know, and said, sister, man, what? Everything all right? I said, oh. She said, I had a rough night, man. Didn't get any sleep. She said, you know, when I had kids, at least I had a reason to be up. you know, it can be that way. And you know what? In Christianity nowadays, they don't know how to rest in the Lord. You know that? There comes a point, brothers and sisters, I mean, you've gone through life, you're trying to do right, and man, you trip and you stumble, or things go wrong, or you get disappointed, or whatever, and it's like, well, it can just be a burden, it can be a grief, and every now and then, you just need to rest, and say, you know what, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I'm in, I'm out of here one day, and rest, just rest. Hey, brothers, if you're saved, you know what? Everything's all right. Everything's all right, man. I mean, yeah, I know we can all do better, but for salvation, for eternity, hey, man, everything's all right. Amen. We're going home and rest. But boy, you got people nowadays, well, I don't know, maybe I've lost it, I don't know. I mean, one more. Churches don't believe in eternal security, don't know if they're saved, don't know. Well, I think I'm saved, I don't know. I just can't get any rest. Why? Well, the body's getting old. Getting old, man. He says there, arise up the voice of the bird, and the daughters of music brought low. Also, and they should be afraid of that which is high. And we'll wrap it up here in just a second. Be afraid of that which is high. You know what? It's hard. You get old, and you know, when I was a kid, when I was your age, I'd climb a tree. I mean, out there in California, we had these pines. And they go way, way, I mean, they're tall. Real tall. And I'd get up, I'd climb up that, we had one next door. And I'd climb up that thing, and they're great for climbing because about every foot and a half is branches. And they just go straight out. So you just choo-choo-choo-choo right up the tree. And I get up there, I remember one time getting way, way up there. You're above the houses, man. You're just up there. You get way up there, the breeze is blowing, that top of that tree is going, and I could feel it, and I'm like, I'm going to go down a little bit. And I could climb a tree today if I had to. But I wouldn't do it for fun because it really wouldn't be any fun. You know what I mean? It's like, I could do it. Now, I'd make sure the branches were bigger. I would. But I could do it. But you know what? After right, the older you get, you don't want to climb a tree. You don't want to go upstairs. You don't want to have to climb a ladder. You want everything flat. Why? You're afraid of that which is high. Why? You don't want to fall. Break a hip, break this, break that, you know, all that sort of thing. Your reflexes aren't fast, so you want everything flat. And we're in an age of Christianity where they're afraid to step out and go the high road. Say, well, but what about the safety net? It's God. It's the promises of the Bible. Yeah, but what about this? What about that? I don't know about the whatabouts. I'm just going. I'm climbing. I'm going. I'm stepping out. And Christians don't do it. They don't want to do it. They're afraid of that which is high. When's the last time you stepped out by faith and did something? When's the last time you went for a higher road? When's the last time you stepped and climbed aimed for that goal like preacher was talking about? Aim for a higher road. How long's it been? Or are you just playing it safe? Well, I'll just play it safe, you know, all that stuff. That's the age. That's Christianity. Why? It's an aged body. Coming up here, we're going, Mobile through Hattiesburg up to Jacksonville. We're going through, and I'm guessing there's this overpass. I think it was train or maybe a walkway. It's probably a high school. And it said, William Carey Crusaders. I think that's what it said, something like that. I'm assuming that's the William Carey. Now, I don't know if it is or not, but I'm assuming that's the William Carey missionary. And they had it up there. And I saw that, and I thought, I wonder if any of those kids even know who that was. I wonder if there was a man that wasn't afraid to go for the high road, to go for that which is high, but that was when the body was younger. But you know what, brothers and sisters? You can go for the high road. You can step up by faith. You can go for that thing. You don't have to just play it safe. You can go for broke for Jesus Christ. And he says there, afraid of that which is high, fear should be in the way. Christians just afraid of this and afraid of that. The almond tree shall flourish. And all I got from that is just gray hair. You know, hair gets gray. Or else it gets gone. Now I'm getting a little bit here, but it's, you know. But a good man comes out on top sooner or later. You know, so that's a joke. It says there, the almond tree shall flourish and the grasshopper shall be a burden. Isn't that weird? The grasshopper, when you get old, the grasshopper's a burden. What is that talking about? And I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure. But I'll just give my opinion. And again, this is not absolute. Obviously, this is. But the grasshopper should be a burden. Those grasshoppers could be eaten. You had to bend over to get them. And you got to be fast. You know, you got to bend over. Maybe they're dead. You know, pick them up. I don't know, but you got to bend over. You know, when you get old, you don't want to bend over. You know that? I mean, it's like, you say, why? Well, you don't know if you're going to get up. It's like, you know, you bend over and say, honey, is there anything else you need while I'm down here? That's right, man. And it's just, you know, you just, that bending over, it just gets harder and harder, all that sort of thing. And I wonder, I know in the body of Christ, praying is just, it's almost a burden. I mean, Christians, prayer meeting, there's no prayer meeting anymore. Well, there used to be. I mean, that kneeling, and I find, and I don't like it, that I like to kneel and pray, but now without the rig and all that stuff, lots of times I got to sit in the car. I'll pray sitting, but something about sitting and praying to me, you know, and I do it, and God blesses, but I like to kneel. But I know the older I get, there's going to come a point I won't kneel. It'll be sitting or maybe laying down or something like that, or standing, but the kneeling, the knees aren't going to be able to take it or whatever. But I'm just saying, prayer in this age, real praying, is just almost non-existent. And he says the grasshopper should be a burden, and last of all, and desire shall fail. And you get up in years, you know what? You just get to a point where you just don't want to do nothing. It's just you don't have the desire. It's just the desire to, you know, go to the store, the desire to clean the house, the desire to do this or that. It just gets to the point, you just don't have the desire. You just don't have it. The energy, the desire, it just wanes. And we're in an age now where Christians are losing the desire to do anything godly. You know, come out for Saturday to hang tracts. The desire, it's waning. The desire to pray. The desire to read the Bible. The desire to do right. I mean, Christianity has lost its desire. All they want is a party and let's have a good time. And that's it. Amen. Desire. Why? We're at the end. The body of Christ, in essence, is aged. Desire. Now, this old book, you know, keep that fire going. Thank God. I mean, these things are characteristics, but you and I, we don't have to be that way. But desire shall fail. And that's what's going on. It's just at the end. There's a story. I've seen a picture. It might be the only one I'll ever you know, if I can get it again. But I'd like to frame it, and I'd like to keep it. There was a man, and again, this was during the strength of Christianity, but nevertheless, it'll apply in one way. But there was a man by the name of C.T. Studd. You may have heard of him. C.T. Studd had an inheritance. He would have been rich. Would have had a mansion, everything. That inheritance gave it all away. Actually gave part of it to his wife. She gave that away. And I mean, just gave it all away. We're talking in this day, it'd be over $1 million. And just had it made and gave it all away. He's a famous cricket player in England. And ended up getting saved. And he went to China with Hudson Taylor for a while. And worked in China. And then after that, he was around 60 years old. It was up. You know, he wasn't a young spring chicken anymore. And at an age, and had a successful life to where he could have, you know, retired, taken it easy. And he'd gone back to England. His wife was not in good health. He had gallbladder trouble. In those days, they didn't know what to do about it. He'd gone back to England, and he just wanted to do something more. 60 years old. And they said, what are you going to do? And he said, I'm going to Africa. They said, you're going to Africa? I'm guessing. They just got, you're 60. He said, I'm going to Africa. And he said, I'm going to go. And he named the place. And it was a tribe in the heart of Africa that had already eaten 35 missionaries. They'd eaten them. Maybe he wanted to go to heaven early. You know, maybe it's, oh, okay, I'll go there. I don't know. But he said, I'm going there. They said, you're crazy. He said, no, I want to go. And they said, how are you going? Because it was way on the inside. He said, how are you going to get there? He said, I'm going to ride a bicycle. Like, oh, you're nuts. And there was another guy that was going to go with him. And C.T. Studd, at 60 years old, sailed to Africa, got his bicycle, and rode into the heart of Africa to tell them about Jesus Christ. And he'd be riding along there, and the natives would come out of the bushes and the huts, and the kids came out, and they're just laughing. They'd never seen a white man, and especially on whatever that thing was, they're just like, whoa, look at that. And the ladies would look out of the grass huts, and they'd go, ah! You know, they're scared, you know. And then they'd see that they were friendly, and they came out, and they just, they're just laughing. They thought it was the funniest thing they ever did see. A white man riding that thing. And they got to the rough places. And those natives come out. And they go. And they pick it up. And they carried it for him. And take him over the mountains. And, you know, thank you. And get back on, rode in there. And God used him. And he inspired other missionaries to go to Africa and tell them about Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, if I could ever get a picture of C.T. Studd and his bicycle, I would want that. Amen. I would want that. You say, why? 60 years old. And he said, I'm still going. I'm still going. The fire's burning. I still want to go. He wasn't going to sleep, wasn't laying down. The desire was still burning and still going till the day he died. I'll tell you, I want to keep going. I want to keep going. I want to keep going. But in this age of Christianity, for the most part, you know what? Desire's failing. We're at the end, folks. Any day Jesus is coming, thank God. But you need to keep going. Keep going. Let's pray. Father, I pray you bless the message now. God, speak to hearts. Help us, Lord God. Even though this is Laodicea, we don't have to be Laodicean. God, even the characteristics of an old man is in Christianity. God, help it not be me. Help it not be us. God, help us, please, to keep going for you and doing right until the trumpet sounds. Father, bless, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
If you will, let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes.